Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time.
So we begin hour two with some college football and also just some college sports overall. We have our 16 teams in the Super Regional for the College World Series. The SEC did not fare as well as they would like, and people on Twitter took notice of it and decided to point out the SEC maybe got too many teams in the tournament in baseball, and let's say a bit of a flop. The NCAA tournament in basketball, bit of a flop. And, of course, the people pointed out the playoff where the SEC didn't do as well as they probably assumed they would. Look, the SEC isn't down. I mean, but if you want to take a victory lap because they didn't win a national title in basketball actually, they did win a national title in basketball, which is funny. People talk about how well they didn't do, and they actually did win a national title. But also, baseball. They still are alive there.
They had two Final Four teams.
Yeah, yeah, but people were taking victory laps, and I was like, you know, they won the national title, right? But people were taking victory laps because all the teams that got in didn't overperform.
Yeah, yeah, it was 7 out of the 8 weren't Elite Eight.
In the Elite Eight teams. Ha-ha, we can laugh at you. But our two Final Four, whatever. Tennessee and our national champion, by the way. whatever you say, SEC. And then, of course, I mentioned all the other stuff people are taking pleasure in. Like baseball, I would say they probably disappointed in that. Like, that would be the one where.
Because two teams host regionals.
Yeah, the 1 and 2 seed we talked about yesterday, Vanderbilt, Texas, knocked out. You had OU lost to North Carolina yesterday. LSU was down big to Little Rock. Fought like 5-1 or something, and they came back. That would have been nuts because Little Rock is under 500.
Yeah.
If they would have won that regional, in Baton Rouge, that would have been crazy.
And also, there is a little bit of like we know this in MLB, in the MLB playoffs, but it is like how many times does a 105 win Dodger team like lose in the NLDS? Like we know that the baseball playoffs get kind of wonky. Now in college, there is just a bigger separation of skill. So you'd think that more often than not, the great teams would advance, but there is like you said, a under 500 Little Rock team can take LSU to the brink. Is just a thing that can happen when you're playing two games in a baseball series.
Particularly when you're talking about over four days, and can your starting pitcher?
Oh, yeah.
How many starting pitchers do you have who can go? Like Southern Miss, who was hosting a regional, shout out to the Canes for taking them out. And they played twice over the course of 24 hours or so.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a pitcher go on Friday, like through 70 pitches or maybe 80 or I forgot how it worked out. I think he might have thrown 70 on Friday and then came back and threw 80 yesterday. Just because that's how they treat college pitchers.
Oh, yeah. I remember the first time I watched a college baseball game with, actual interest.
Yeah.
And I think it must have been when they started putting, pitch counts on the broadcast. And there's a Texas pitcher that just went for, 130 pitches and just was trotted back out for another inning. I was like, oh, my God, they're going to kill them again.
Wayne Graham wasn't against doing that to a pitcher, too. The pitcher in question, he threw 80 last night after 70 on Friday. And, they just –
150 pitches.
Yeah,
since Friday.
Since Friday to get to a Super Regional, which they could not do as they go down 5-4 at home to Miami. So we also had the Women's College World Series where we're going to have Texas versus Texas Tech in the final. Texas Tech takes out Oklahoma. That game was 2-0 for Tech, and then Oklahoma hit a two-run home run. They're down to the last out, and then Tech hit a sack fly to win it. And my takeaway from it is I don't know who the play-by-play guy is there. Sure, it was very exciting to watch Oklahoma finally lose, but to say that the dynasty has been ended just because the team who had won four in a row won't win their fifth in a row, that's not how dynasties work. You don't have to win every year, and if you don't, then the dynasty's over. You can win five out of six, and I'm pretty sure Oklahoma will be. I don't even have to do any research, Sean. I'm just going to assume Oklahoma's going to be just fine next year.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, I know it's dangerous.
They are an SEC team, so they might lose in the playoffs.
Well, they didn't get beat by an SEC team, at least to be eliminated by one. They did lose to Texas early in the College World Series. Texas Tech gets that done. Texas Tech, who has now become, across multiple sports, a big NIL team.
I didn't know. I knew this. I just didn't know the number that's been reported for a pitcher on the Texas Tech softball team.
Do we believe it's $1 million NIL for this pitcher?
I don't refuse to believe it because crazy things happen. But, like, is there any way that's worth the return on investment? I know they're literally in the final, but, like, still?
I don't know.
Are they making $1 million
off
of this?
I don't know the finances of college softball to know what making a national title game series means.
I would even say this isn't even a softball thing. The Cooper Flagg number that got floated out there was
$28 million.
Yeah. There's no way that was worth it. No way that was actually worth $28 million.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, that too. Like, are we counting like the total of like his
Nike deal? What? Oh, New Balance. Yeah, excuse me. Nike. New Balance. How dare I, right? I don't know. I just don't think the number 28 is something I'm going to believe right now. I know he's generational. I just don't believe it. Sorry.
We've never seen a number one pick like this guy.
No. We did 2 years ago. And probably
I didn't. That's a different generation.
That's not how. It's not 2 years separating generations. No. And then we got another generation.
Age gap. Huge age gap.
Then we got another generational guy.
Next year, yeah.
Yes. So we will see how Cooper Flagg plays out with the Mavericks. But as far as something I did mention before we did go to break, we got to the college baseball, college softball stuff.
Look at us being interested in college baseball.
Like at this point, championships on the line, so I will watch.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to watch Oklahoma beat the crap out of Oklahoma State 20-1.
It does help that we're not getting a five-peat, I will say.
For the excitement level? There'll be a new
just
champ.
Just for the interest.
At least in the last half decade, a new champ with Tech and Texas playing. But there are some lists and content being created by ESPN, and it's just them eating off of themselves actually to create this. But as I said, they have a list of the overvalued teams in college football and the undervalued ones, according to the analytics and the experts who are talking about it. And by experts, I mean just guys who cover the sport. So teams are undervalued according to their guys here. Arizona State, they are a team who pushed Texas to the brink in that playoff game, 4th-13. Will that live in memory because it didn't result in a championship? In fact, I think you lost in the next game. Will that be something that Texas people remember? The 4th-13, Ewers to Golden?
Maybe more in the, like the as part of like the run, but I think if Arch leads them to a championship,
it'll
or something,
be forgotten.
Yeah, the other things they'll immediately get outranked.
Yeah, so Arizona State makes the list. They don't have Cam Scatabo anymore. They do keep Sam Leavitt. There are certainly some NIL interest in him. People trying to get him to transfer, he stays. And they also keep Jordan Tyson, who's a really good receiver, who didn't actually did he play in that game? Was he hurt?
He was out.
He was hurt in the game against Texas, so he'll be back. So they have some talent on the offensive side of the ball. According to Pablo Ugetti, not a name that you need to know. He's just the guy who was picked to choose undervalued or overvalued. He thinks ESPN's metric has Arizona State undervalued. Clemson makes that list. Iowa, team we talked about earlier, makes that list. And Indiana does as well. The teams who are overvalued, which is always more fun, A&M,
They are ranked in the top 10, in fact, number 8 in these rankings. And the questions are about their offense last year and their defense. They were average, 51st ranked offense as far as EPA and 47th in defense. That doesn't scream top 10 team. Marshall Reed's good. We'll see as a second-year full-time starter how well he plays, but they make the list of overvalued. So does Texas. And this is a lot about Arch, as everything regarding Texas is about Arch. If Arch is good, they think that roster is one that should be ranked as high as they are. But the question is Arch ready to lead a title team? And we can speculate, we can guess, but really we won't know. And frankly, even if you play as well against Ohio State, that's a good first step. But it's a long year, man. It's long. I mean, it goes beyond the regular season.
Thrilling SEC schedule.
Sure. You know, playing Vanderbilt and Mississippi State, very
Kentucky.
Grueling.
Yeah, at Kentucky.
Yeah, very difficult. Now, if you get Kentucky in Oxford, that's tough. Just ask Ole Miss. I don't know how difficult it would be to beat Kentucky in Lexington. But, you know, it's long. Even if you win against Ohio State, then you've got the rest of your schedule. We're talking, let's say Texas is perfect. You have to, what do you win, 16 games to win the title now?
Yeah.
If you don't if you get the bye, although that's now not automatic, but if Texas runs through the SEC, they're getting a bye. So just a long year, man. So I don't know how you can tell who's got it in them that early in the year, particularly for a first-time start as far as QB1. He makes the list, at least Texas makes the list along with A&M. And then Miami does as well. That's a lot about Carson Beck. So it's a lot of questions about the quarterbacks as far as the overvalued list is concerned. And rightfully so.
And then Tennessee, where it's like,
who is their quarterback? It's Joey Aguilar, I guess.
Yeah.
After they lost Nico.
Yeah.
To UCLA.
Is this how we view quarterback play now, or is it something unique about the era we're living in where it feels like for the second straight year, we're just like, who's a good quarterback? Who's going to be a good quarterback? Because even Cam Ward, who was awesome and ended up being the number one pick, like coming into the year, we weren't like, here's a guy
who's going to be the number one running pick. Running around, making mistakes at Washington State because of bad players around. Not bad, but just players who weren't at his level. And Washington State didn't have a good offensive line. They weren't as talented as the team he got to play with, at least offensively at Miami.
Like the top-level quarterbacks going into last year, it was Quinn Ewers. Seventh round pick.
Sure.
Carson Beck, so bad he didn't go into the draft, now transferred.
Shedeur
Sanders, fifth round pick. And
was there anyone else?
Maybe Dylan Gabriel, third round pick,
anyone
to the same team that picked Shedeur.
Yeah, but anyone who watched Dylan Gabriel, great college player.
Yeah, he's a
who's
good
never
going to
be a big-time prospect in the NFL level.
But
Drew Aller was a guy people liked, not this show. And he played better than what we thought of him. But that was a guy who, particularly as the year went on, people thought, oh, that's a guy who could maybe sneak into the first round.
Yeah.
But even before the year, his arm, that's what we were scoffing at. Everyone's talking about how great his arm was and all the physical tools. I was like, did you watch him play? Particularly against good defenses. Now, he played better, and there's talk of him coming out, and then he said, no, I'm going to stay. So, as you said, a lot of the guys people were very high on, the prototypical guys, although Quinn Ewers' arm probably doesn't fit that profile. Big pocket passers, you can throw the ball down the field. Those guys all stayed outside of Shedeur, who was always going to be a guy who left, and he doesn't even have the biggest of arms. And of course, Cam Ward came out of pretty much nowhere. He was a guy who didn't even really have a good draftable grade. That's why he made his decision so late to stay in college, because he declared for the draft, didn't like what the feedback, and then came back and then turned himself into the number one overall pick. So
it just feels like it's been a while since we had a guy who's like, I would say a quarterback on a title contending team where we're like, oh my God, they had, you know, like,
yeah,
or it's this team with this quarterback is going to be hard to stop.
Because even the best offense in the last 10 years in college football, the most acclaimed one in LSU had Joe Burrow. It was pretty average. It was fine.
He was like his good SEC starter.
He was fine his first year as he was trying to figure things out, and then of course he took off with Joe Brady got there in year two. So you're
I guess Caleb Williams maybe,
and that didn't lead to what
USC teams were in the league.
Yeah, I mean, they were on the verge of making a playoff, and they got their ass kicked by Utah in a Pac-12 title game. I think they were in line to make the top four until Utah said, "No, we're good. You're not making the top four on our watch." Now, Utah's done that to a couple Pac-12 schools. They beat up on Mario Cristobal in his final game at Oregon. So they've been spoiler a couple times with Kyle Whittingham. But yeah, I don't remember the last time we came into the year saying, great team, lock cinch top five, also have a great quarterback that we all believe in as well.
And you think it'd be the opposite with NIL, that like the great quarterbacks would just find their way to the top schools. Like last year, Ohio State needed to go out and get a quarterback, and they got Will Howard.
Yeah.
It worked, but it wasn't like they went out and got a number one guy.
They lost twice in the regular season.
Yeah. I mean, it worked because
I know what you're saying, but in a different world, they lost twice.
Yeah.
And they're not making the playoff in the real playoff, as we always talk about here. Yeah. So we always talk about team building in different sports. I don't know what the formula is in college other than to be really good on the fronts.
And I'm willing to say that this is just like a 2-year weird blip where like just in these two quarterback classes that there just hasn't been that guy. And, you know, this time or at the end of this year, we could be talking about, you know, Cade Klubnik or Garrett Nussmeier. Like, oh, yeah, we should have known all the way.
But let's think about this. J.J. McCarthy, I mean, he worked himself into a first-round pick, but look, I have my reservations about a guy who's more, as we say here, bus rider than bus driver for that Michigan team who won a national title the year before. The 2 years before, it was Stetson Bennett, who won a couple of national titles. So it hasn't been exactly
Mac Jones.
Yeah, first-round pick, but we saw what that turned out. And a lot of people, at least a lot of people being me, could have told you how that was going to turn out. But yeah. He had that 1 year at the Patriots, and they lost their minds, and okay, this is Mac Jones. Now we can't wait to get rid of him, so we go draft Drake May and see how that works out. I don't know who the great quarterbacks are going to be. I know what I'm being told, but even if we do have great quarterbacks, will they be matched with real title contenders who don't have the flaws that a Cam Ward team had, where Cam Ward, through no fault of his own, probably had a good enough offense to make a title game. His defense was so atrocious that the DC got fired and they revamped their entire secondary. Maybe there's another guy who will elevate himself into a top five pick. His team around him just won't be good enough to win the ultimate prize. We'll see. Long way away from the season beginning, but those lists are starting. So in some ways, we will talk about them. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to call in, you can. 713-780-3776. Me and Sean, till noon, we will be back.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We started the show with an update from Texans camp. The update, the only one that actually matters, if it actually does matter currently, is that CJ Stroud still isn't throwing a football. He's out there warming up, got a helmet on, did some handoff stuff to the available running backs because Damian Pierce isn't there and Joe Mixon isn't there as well, but not throwing the football. So that is someone we haven't seen throw a ball in OTAs. We did the discussion thing where we say, hey, they got mandatory mini camps next week. We'll see. If it's still an issue then maybe some more pressing questions need to be asked. But up until then, we can get by with we're not too concerned. I'm sure the reporters will ask after practice is over there. Some other Texans news. Did we know that Ronald Darby was a Texan? I'm sure that news passed by and I acknowledged it but didn't think much of it other than, oh, yeah, I remember him playing at Florida State and with the Eagles and the Bills and all those other teams. He retires. He's not going to get the same type of love that Frank Ragnow got or David Andrews yesterday in his very emotional retirement with the Patriots. But Ronald Darby, veteran corner who the Texans signed, says goodbye to football. What, a couple days here? I was like, you know what? Enough of that.
That is always kind of funny, the guys that retire a week into mini camp, where they're just like, nope, don't got it. Either don't got it or don't want to have it. Don't want to have yeah, to do this.
It's true. He was the Jags last year, part of the exchange program. The Texans and the Jags are on right now because they brought in Christian Kirk. He's
part of the Kirk trade?
I don't think so, but we were just including him in that. He's decided, no, I'm good. A couple days here. It's not like he doesn't know hot weather. He spent plenty of time in Tallahassee with the Noles. So I don't think it was that. He goes, you know what? I'm 31 years old. I don't want to do this anymore, at least not right now. He might be a guy who finds the will to play football in October, but going through a training camp, Ronald Aubrey, I don't know what his mindset is, but maybe that's one of those guys who would have been better served not signing before training camp again. Just wait for an opening.
Wait for some injuries?
Yeah.
Jump. I feel like the Ravens always
stay in shape.
Need to sign a street free agent. And
he's been a Raven before, in that way. Stay in shape. So when people start calling, hey, Ronald Darby, still want to play football? In fact, I do still want to play football. Thanks for the call. Or maybe it's a real thing where, you know, he's just done. But I could see a guy, a veteran, I'll be out here, new team, doing all this. It wouldn't surprise me.
They're all calling me Unk.
Yeah, I got the locksmith keep hitting his head after every play and then calling me Unk afterwards. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, so from March 17th, 2025 to June 2nd, 2025, that is the Ronald Darby Houston Texan era.
He was here for a short time, not a long time. Were we aware he was even here? We are now.
A good time.
I don't know. He retired. I'm not sure it was a great time.
That was a good time, though. It was a good.
If it was a good time, maybe
2.5 months.
Maybe he would have kept playing.
Maybe he just loved Houston. Maybe it's just like.
Doesn't seem like it. Seems like he wants to get out. I don't know. I don't know where he currently resides. He's originally from Maryland, but Ronald Darby has retired. It's a shame. He should have waited a day. Maybe he would have got some real acknowledgement because you got two well-accomplished centers retiring on the same day. You got to time these things out.
Oh, yeah. I want to have a day to my own.
A Ronald Darby day. Yeah. People can talk about Ronald Darby retiring. All anyone was talking about is Frank Ragnow retiring and David Andrews crying during his retirement ceremony. He was very emotional. Crying makes it sound like I'm making fun of him. He was emotional. You want to hear it? I want to hear it. I think maybe I didn't save it. I'll put it on the rundown. He was let me know if I say that. If not, I'll throw it on the rundown. Because David Andrews, longtime Patriot, he spoke about wanting to retire as a Patriot. And here is part of David Andrews. This is his opening statement as he says goodbye to football.
All right. I wrote this down, so I'm going to try to get through it. Not the start. All right, here we go. When I knew this day was coming, I was thinking about what I wanted to say. As you can see, there's a lot of emotions. The one that kept sticking out to me was gratitude.
David Andrews. He got his farewell messages from his ex-Patriot teammates. They put up a social media post where Tom Brady's involved, Cordy, I don't know which one, Devin or Jason, not sure. I'm never, ever going to be sure. Gronk is in it. So that guy was a staple of the back half of Tom Brady's career with the Patriots. And he says goodbye to football in a very emotional way. Before we go to break, actually, let's go to break. Keith, I see you. We'll get to Keith when we come back. Keith, known NFL journeyman aggregator. He loves bringing news to the table about NFL journeymen. So we'll get to Keith when we come back. We've got a couple more segments to go. We will be back.
you're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
Michael Carroll, that's who that was. He'll join us at a special time and day. He'll join us on Thursday because he won't be available on Friday, and I won't be available tomorrow. I won't be here. So Joe George will fill in for us, and by us I mean me. Sean will be here, but Joe will fill in for me tomorrow. But Michael Carroll joins us normally at 11:30 on Friday, so join us probably at 11:30 on Thursday. Let's get to Keith. In fact, he doesn't want to talk about NFL free agents. He wants to talk about TV shows. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. Thanks for having me on. I got a quick gripe and just want to see if you were maybe on the same wavelength here, but on Netflix, you know, everyone has Netflix. You know, they've had this series, the Untold series. You know, you've got Brett Favre, you've got Manziel, Manti Te'o, you've got the Gilbert Arenas, Shavaris Crittenden. You got a ton of these Untold documentaries. But my big gripe with these, and maybe you're feeling the same way I'm feeling, all of them have just been completely average to below average. None of them have been good or great or even stellar. None of them are even, like, in the same atmosphere as The Last Dance and some other really good documentaries. You know, Boston Marathon one, The Keepers, you know, Blackfish, things like that. All of the Untold series, why are they so, like, subpar? Why are they not that good?
Keith, you're not alone in that thought. I don't know why they all aren't that good, but I'll reference back to the Florida one where they got access from Florida and those players, so they didn't tell the story that anyone was really interested in. That's what happens. When you get access from the people involved, in a lot of ways, they're going to have some creative control, because why would they allow you to talk to them if you're going to tell a story they don't want to be told? So for a lot of it is you're not really getting an independent view or a objective view of what's going on. Whatever's being told is kind of curated by the people involved, and then you're not going to get the best.
Yeah, that's why, you know, like they had a Mouse in the Palace one. And I was like, actually, turns out wasn't as bad as we all thought. It's like, yeah, no way, dude. No, oh yeah, Jermaine O'Neal, it wasn't as bad as he thought. Or as we all thought. Oh, actually, there was a lot more that went into it. And it's much more, I don't know, guys. I think punching fans is a little far.
Well, sure, you might have been prompted or at least aggravated by what the fans are doing. We all saw what you guys
Steven Jackson,
were up there
like,
doing.
Ran at those
yeah,
stands.
We saw.
Couldn't wait. Yeah, I think another thing is that they're all 60 minutes long. And the ones that Keith mentioned, I think all those
multiple
docs are all multiple hours longer.
Yeah, you're invested. I mean, it's a lot like it's
like if Last Dance had to be an hour long, like they couldn't get into any of it.
Yeah, you're compressing. You're trying to tell a story from start to finish with an hour.
And that's basically what they're doing with like that told the story of Michael Jordan on the Bulls. Didn't really touch into the Wizards stuff very much. And the, you know, Johnny Manziel one is telling the story of Johnny Manziel. It's just that you have 10 hours of Michael Jordan. You have 1 hour of Johnny Manziel or 1 hour of Brett Favre.
Yeah, it's not going to hit the same. A lot of it has to do with build up too, the conversation around it. If you get an episode, maybe two, I forgot how they dispersed, distribute the Last Dance, two per week for five weeks. It helped that it was COVID, so
there's
nothing,
literally nothing new
sports-wise to watch. And, of course, unless you mentioned Netflix had stuff in the can, no one was creating anything for a while. So there was the Last Dance, if you're a sports fan, to watch, unless you love Korean baseball, when that started back up. So the buildup, the conversations you're having, that's part of why the streaming model gets criticized, that if you dump everything at once, it's out there for everyone, and then it's gone. But with The Last Dance, you got it over a five-week period, and it helped that it was great content, a figure that in some ways is mythological when it comes to Michael Jordan. That helps it too. And if you're getting a behind-the-scenes look, even with Michael Jordan having all that control he did have over it, you're still getting a lot of what you're looking for. And you just want... That was just a perfect time for that particular doc. I wonder how appealing it would be today. I'm sure it would still be good. I just don't think it would be some something that brought us all together.
No, I don't think they would be having Scott Van Pelt doing post-game reaction shows to the last
like
dance.
Like it's an actual live game.
Like that's actually what they would do. They had like Michael Wilbon and Stephen A. Smith on with Scott Van Pelt to talk about the 2 hours of TV that we just watched.
Yeah, because they weren't going to get together to talk about anything else unless they had health experts on, and no one wants to hear Wilbon and Stephen A. debate whatever version of Fauci they were going to bring on.
I mean, I'm sure Wilbon had some.
I'm sure they both would have, but I said no one was looking for it. I'm not saying they wouldn't. They could. They weren't capable of having that conversation.
Yeah, I wonder the same thing of like not just if the Last Dance came out today, but if it just like came out when it was supposed to, which was I think it was like at the end of 2020, and they just moved it up because it was already, I think, mostly in the can. And so they were just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was supposed to, I think, after the finals or something.
Yeah, it was supposed to be coincide with, yeah, makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, and they moved it up a few months. But I wonder in a, like, non-COVID world, if, like, it actually just came out after a normal finals, like, would people have gone nuts? I think it was, would have still been a hit. I think it was really well done. But I don't know if it would be the, like, first doc that everyone goes to when they're like, why don't they make great docs like The Last Dance anymore?
Yeah, it was, as I said, a perfect moment for the perfect athlete that people will always have an interest in. And also give him the credit for doing a great job. And, of course, we got that. Was he a security guard who did that? We got memeable things from it as well.
Yeah.
And
Michael Jordan listening to the music in the back.
And him holding that bat talking about takes a real man to talk. When you're down,
a bat and a cigar in his mouth.
Took for real, man. Yeah, he got all that stuff. Of course,
I took that personally.
Yeah, it's a lot of things that help take that doc to another level. And Keith, if you're looking for something to reach those levels, I say good luck to you, man. Not sure you're going to be able to find it. But yeah, Untold has taken a hit. The quality has gone down since their initial ones.
Yeah, I did like the Manti Te'o one, but that might have been one of the original ones.
It might have been one of the early ones.
But that one was good because Manti Te'o, like, I think part of it is because he didn't, like, really do anything wrong, you know? Like, he didn't do anything that he can't admit to.
He got catfished.
Yeah, and so it's been a decade. And so he was, like, open about it and talked about, like, the mistakes he made and his mindset at the time. And I was like, okay, this is actually interesting. They got the catfisher there. That person was a trip. So I like that one. It's also a good – that one I feel like only needs to be an hour. You know, like it's a smaller scale one. It's not about Manti Te'o's, like, entire life and, like, long football career. It was about more or less one football season in 2012.
Question for me is, if Manti Te'o doesn't have that as a chapter in his life, is he charismatic enough to be able to go on NFL Network and have his segment? Or is it NBC Sports? What is he?
I think he's on NFL Network. He's on Good Morning Football.
Yeah. Is he charismatic enough? Is the football career big enough and successful enough for him to get on that show, if not for the catfishing incident?
I think he might be NBC broadcast of Notre Dame games. I think he's still a Notre Dame legend and loved Notre Dame player. But I don't know if, like, my mom knows his name, if he was just a really good middle linebacker for Notre Dame without the catfish stuff.
I would agree.
Actual personal tragedy. But, like, didn't his, like, grandma die something?
I don't know. Well, was it around that time?
Yeah, that was like the story. It was like his grandma died, and then his girlfriend died, and then it turned out his girlfriend was fake.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm not saying, well, he should be thrilled that happened to him, but I'm just thinking of all the things that would have taken place.
It raises profile.
Yeah, if he was simply a great linebacker in college and probably an average one in the NFL level.
I'll say it raised his profile in ways that he absolutely hated at the time.
Yes.
That now, hey, listen, you get to make a little bit more money.
Did he write a book? I'm sure.
Probably.
I'm sure there's a book in his. If he hasn't, there may be a book coming. Just to tell that story. Look, he was a really the problem for him, at least a little bit, is he was a really good college linebacker, and a lot of that stuff is overshadowed by what he was. He was on a good Notre Dame team who, because they're Notre Dame, got their ass kicked in a title game by Alabama. That's just their lot in life. This past year, their lot in life was to get dominated for about three quarters until Ohio State nearly tricked it off in the fourth quarter. Yeah, they fought back and made it at least somewhat entertaining. So there is our talk on Untold. Keith, I'm sure there'll be other docs. Maybe get away from the sports docs. Maybe there's something else. I mean, the crime docs keep hitting, so maybe that's your next thing if you want to get away from the sports docs. I did want to mention this. We got a couple more minutes before we go. The Summer Circuit is back. You can join ESPN Houston every week as we visit different restaurants all over the greater Houston area. Each week you can register to win our grand prize of the summer, which is a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. A $4,000 value. Pretty good deal. So for registration, stop by the promo table at the broadcast. So you got to show up if you want to register for those for that prize. So it's generally going to be from 12 to 6. It'll be the afternoon, guys. You can go out there, have some good to eat, watch the broadcast. And this week they're going to be hanging out, enjoying food and cocktails at the Kima Boardwalk inside the Galaxy Adventure Party Room. So go out there and join them this Friday from noon to 6 at the Kima Boardwalk. Find the entire Summer Circuit schedule on ESPN975.com. So the guys in the afternoon are going to be going all around town to great Houston restaurants. And if you show up there, you got a chance to win. Okay, we started with the show with this, and now we have word from D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans is saying C.J. Stroud's issue is general soreness. So him not throwing is simply an extra precaution. Once again, this is me adding the once again, the words they're using, no concern. There's no concern. General soreness, extra precaution. All right. You can get much like the Rockets giving the excuse for Jalen Green. You get that off one off season. You get this off until after mandatory minicamp. If it's general soreness next week, I'm gonna be, but okay with it. But I don't want to hear general soreness when they reconvene later in the month and into July. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just general soreness keeping you out of mini camp is, because it's not like mini camp's the most intensive workout, especially for a quarterback. It is a lot of just throwing with no pass rush, or it's like throwing in drills. It's not something where it's like, ooh, you're going to make it worse by going out there and throwing, I don't know, 75 footballs? Like 100, maybe?
So the official, at least, word from D'Amico is tight shoulder muscle. It's tight shoulder muscle, per sources, according to Aaron Wilson. Okay. And we heard C.J. Stroud, we heard D'Amico Ryan say general soreness.
Different than general soreness.
Yeah, so that's why I thought that was from D'Amico, but then I see Aaron Wilson say, from league sources, he's dealing with shoulder muscle tightness. He's got a tight shoulder muscle. And then D'Amico says it's general soreness. So general soreness would suggest, oh, he's throwing the football too much. And they're just giving him a rest.
Yeah.
A tight shoulder muscle just suggests there's actually an issue, but they don't believe it's anything that's long-term. They're just going to not exacerbate the situation.
I'm not comparing it to the Houston Astros.
Do it.
I'm not.
Okay.
I will just say, though, it is like when the Astros say discomfort.
I didn't want to say discomfort.
But then it's like, that's not an actual injury, guys. Like, just tell us, like, the injury, the body part.
Yes, D'Amico telling us general soreness is not an injury, but Aaron Wilson's reporting that there's actually a tight shoulder muscle. That is an actual injury. What the muscle is, whatever, how debilitating it might be from him to throw a football currently, don't know that. Sean's the online doctor. I am not.
Mm-hmm.
But right now
at least the kinetic change.
At least we have an answer for why CJ's not out there throwing the ball. He's got a tight shoulder muscle.
Yeah. I don't think it's actually a big deal. It's just the longer it goes, it's a little bit like the Astros. I'm not comparing it to the Astros.
There's no mention of inflammation.
But it's a little bit like the Astros, where if they just say, like, if D'Amico Ryan said, hey, he's not throwing today or tomorrow, so don't ask us tomorrow when he doesn't throw. You know, like, they could get ahead of it a little bit by just saying, like, we don't plan on him throwing for
2 weeks, whatever
X amount of days.
Yeah. So the full quote is, there's no concerns with CJ. It's just general soreness. We're taking extra precaution with him. but he'll be good to go. No concerns on my end there. Okay.
He'll be good to go when?
He did not give a time frame for when he'll be good to go, just that he will be good to go. So good to go would suggest.
Same time tomorrow, D'Amico, then.
Good to go would suggest we're talking week one, he'll be good to go. Because when else would he be good to go? When else would we need him to be good to go? We don't need him to be good to go in the preseason.
Again, training camp, I'd like him to be good to go.
Yes, we have stated we'd like him to be good to go earlier, but good to go could mean when the season begins.
He's all in for week one, like, yeah. Robert Griffin III.
Sure. Very
2013.
Sure. Yeah, sure. That worked out well. Yeah, sure. Thanks for referencing that.
I'm just saying, like,
no.
I saw him tear, like, his knee go the wrong direction, and the entire thing was like, he's not working out. He'll be ready for week one. This guy has general soreness, and all I'm getting is he'll be good to go.
I don't know. I guess it's typical team stuff. They're very secret about injuries. But we're just going to have to depend on the reporters because I don't think it'll come directly from the team.
It's really the wrong week for them to be doing this. I think that's what it comes down to. Yeah. I think we're being a little ridiculous just because we spent all of yesterday talking about
it's true. It's not, in back-to-back days, we're questioning the openness of the franchises in town where really – The Texans, at least from my eyes, although I have seen some people suggest they've misdiagnosed things in the past. I just don't have those off the top of my head. They don't reach the level of the Astros. So the concern is we just wanted them out there. But as far as a real issue, I'm going to trust them when they say there isn't one. All right, we're done for the day. I'm sure there'll be sound for D'Amico later in the day. We just happened to see what he was saying. We don't have the sound for that, but that'll come. Paul Gallant is up next, followed by the Killer Bees. Once again, I won't be here tomorrow. Joe George will fill in for me. I'll be back on Thursday. But since we're done for the day, Sean, what is that?
Shred him, Stroud!
I don't like the term shred him when we're talking about a guy's shoulders. Either way, I'll be back on Thursday.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.